make her points. But it's not the bishop's day. And really, it's not altogether the confirmand's day, although that's better. It is, of course, the Lord's day. The other thing I want to say is that this is indeed like a shepherd's crook. And the shepherd's job sometimes is to see that here is a sheep that needs to come back. But it's not the shepherd's job or the bishop's job to poke at you. There have been times in the history of the church when the bishop's staff has been used, or the bishop's authority has been used as a weapon. But those days, happily, are gone. The bishop is here, wherever the bishop is, to bring people together. Hold this for me. Hold this for me. The other thing I want to say is that the bishop's hat is the single goofiest thing that you could ever put on your head. Like that. It is called a mitre because of this angle. Some of y'all have shops where you have tools and there's a mitre saw that cuts at an angle. Some of you play chess. It's enough to know that bishops move diagonally. Not because we are sneaky and shifty, although that has been the case in some situations, but because we are trained and expected to work in the world a little bit differently than other people. When I was a layperson, when I was a young priest, I was often very frustrated with the bishop. That the bishop should just say what he thinks and have done with it. Tell us what to do, as long as it's what I want to do. But the bishops move in a diagonal and bring people together instead of pushing and prodding. In our church, we are more like shepherds who love the sheep and invite the sheep to go where we go, and less like cowboys who make a lot of noise and steer their herd into going where they should be. I met John the Baptist one time. I'm that old. I met John the Baptist, and I know it was John the Baptist because he came into my office and told me so. I wanted to check his driver's license and see if it said John the Baptist on it, but I chickened out before I could ask him. He wanted permission to preach in the church that I was serving. I told him that we didn't do that kind of thing, that you have to have, credentials and a diploma. You can't just let anybody stand up in the pulpit and preach. I wonder if the people who knew John the Baptist of Jesus' day must have felt the same way. This man had no credentials. And John the Baptist of the Bible had very little good hygiene either, wearing a cloak made out of a camel's skin, eating wild honey and locusts. Y'all remember that story? He was not somebody that you would want to introduce to your mother. For a long time, thought that there's a thin line between a saint and a nut. The John the Baptist that came into my office and told me that he was John the Baptist and wanted to preach was sort of stepping on that line. I never could really tell if he was a saint or a nut. He told me he had a model train set that he wanted all the children of that town to come and see. And could I help him invite all the children of the town to come to his house and come in and see his train? I tried to explain to him that most parents are not going to let their children do that. And he said, said I could convince him, and I said that I was not going to do that. I kept waiting for him to ask me for money. I knew that he was there to ask me for money. He had that look about him and that aroma as well. He was one of those people who was going to ask me for money, and I knew I had a $20 bill in my pocket, and I'm powerless before somebody who asked me for money when I've got any money in my pocket. I was dreading that moment when he was going to ask me for money, and I would have to give him $20 out of my pocket and explain to my wife what had happened. He never did ask me for money. I asked him what he would preach about. I let him step into the pulpit of the Episcopal Church in Grenada, Mississippi. And there was just a moment of hesitation, and he said, "You need to pay more attention to Jesus and less attention to Richie." We talked for a little while. I declined the opportunity to go to see his model train set. He walked out of my office, and I thought I would never see him again. Until the week before Christmas, that same year, I got a call from the police station. John the Baptist had gone to the First Baptist Church there on Main Street in Grenada, Mississippi. Walked in the door while the church service was in progress and was preaching as he went up the aisle. I don't know what he said to the Baptist. And I wonder if anybody heard it. The board of deacons called the police, who dragged him out of the service, preaching still. And then he gave my name as someone who would vouch for him. I went to the police station and had a long conversation, and they let him go, and I never saw him again, but I've often wondered whether he was a nut or a saint. And I've often wondered how John the Baptist must have seemed to the people. And now Jesus comes to be baptized by a nut with no credentials, no degrees, no diplomas, no personal hygiene skills. John the Baptist tells Jesus that he is not worthy. And he's right. John the Baptist is not worthy. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out on the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. If this had been written in Alabama instead of Israel, I believe it would have said, I am the Lord, I have called y'all in righteousness. I have taken y'all by the hand and kept y'all. I have given y'all as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. I have called y'all you. And you are not worthy. You know that, and I know that. Just as I am not worthy. I know that, and I hope you know that too. To be a covenant to the people, to be a light to the nations, to bring other people into the love of God, who is worthy of such a thing? Not me. Not you. Not John the Baptist, ancient or modern. And yet we serve as vessels of grace to the world, broken vessels sometimes, leaky vessels usually, but there's plenty of grace to go around. actually took seriously what I'm trying to say. Wonder what would happen if you took seriously God's call to you all to be a light to the nations, to be God's covenant with God's people. You might have to be a little more of a nut than you're comfortable with to be the saint God is calling you to be. You might have to do or say something that makes you uncomfortable. You might have to be more pushy. That's not the right word. Intentional than you've ever been before. You and I, by ourselves, cannot share God's love, cannot shine Christ's light. We are not worthy. But with God's help, what could we do if we offered ourselves to God? What if you were a little bit more of a nut, a little bit more of a saint, and let go of the idea that you are not worthy, not capable, and actually pay attention to what you say you're going to do when we baptize or confirm somebody? You know, we're not really set up so that the bishop can just sneak up behind somebody and confirm them against their will without their knowing. It takes a congregation to make that happen. We all have to gather. Because the congregation needs to stand around the people who are being baptized or confirmed and say, here's what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? It's all in the prayer book. You don't have to think about anything if you don't want to. But today I'm inviting you to do just that. To think about the promises you make. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And then because even we have enough sense to know that it's not enough to just say what we believe, we move on to what will we do about that? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you continue? Even if it's hot in there, even if it's cold in there, even if there's a football game coming on, even if the sermon is, like today, way too long, even if the hymns are played too slowly or too quickly, even if the bishop turns out to be a bonehead after all, even if some bishop somewhere else does something that is embarrassing, will you continue? And the answer in the prayer book is, I will with God's help. You have God's help. That's the whole point of the incarnation. God with us. You have God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Every time you sin, will you return? I will with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of Jesus Christ? Now think about this now. You are in the presence of God, in the presence of God's people, saying that you will, with God's help, do just that. You will proclaim the gospel. Not just the preacher, not just the bishop. You, in your life, in what you say and don't say, what you do and don't do, will you proclaim the good news? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I keep waiting for some lawyer to come up and show me where the loophole is in that. All persons. A lot of persons. That's more than just the people that we like and feel comfortable with. It's people we don't like. People should be doing. When you seek and serve Christ in all persons, will you respect the dignity of every human being? Today, as we stand around those who are being confirmed, and renew our baptismal covenant, knowing that we are called to be the light of God in this world, let me invite you not to mumble like Episcopalians do, but if you intend to do these things, say loudly, like you really mean it, "I will with God's help." And if it's too much for you, if you don't think you're even going to try, don't say anything at all. Don't make promises that you have no intention of keeping. I'll be back. We'll do it again. Next time there's a baptism, we go through the same thing. You have plenty of chances. But today, if you mean it, say it loud. And if you don't, just stay quiet. You are not worthy to be the light to the nations. I'm not even. But with God's help, the church perseveres and thrives and grows and shines the light of Christ into the darkening world. We have been called to be a light to the nations. We have been called to be God's covenant